I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back to the Junks. We're coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com, and you can join their team today. Our team is pretty much back intact. JP returns. He is broadcasting from his mom's house in Bowie, MD. Good to have him back. Good to have him in the Zoom box.
We're still missing one guy. Still missing one guy.
Still one guy. I said we're mostly intact.
You know what's good to have back? And it's a common side effect for those that have COVID, but there were definitely a few days where I had no smell and no taste. And
yeah,
it is
sucks.
The weirdest thing to eat food when you have absolutely no taste. My wife still doesn't have taste or smell, which is weird because she had a bottle of perfume, and that was the first thing that we tested. And put the perfume next to both of us, couldn't smell a thing. And then when you eat stuff, it's just... it's kind of gross when you have absolutely
you can't taste,
no taste.
That sucks. Really sucks.
Well, you can't enjoy it.
A buddy of mine had COVID in the summer, and I saw him this past week, and we were talking, and he actually also just happened to get one of the shots, and we were talking about that, and he told me that he has some nasal issues, and before he had COVID, they took out some nodes or something in his nose, and he lost his sense of taste and smell. And that kind of sucks. But when he had COVID for 2 weeks, he could taste and smell. So he was actually a little bit sized. And then when he overcame it, back to no taste and smell. So I don't know what it's triggering or what it's doing there, but it obviously affects that sense.
That is weird.
Right? The number one thing which you can notice, I mean, I'm sure it's different for people, when I didn't have taste and I had a slight taste, was that I could sense like spice, which is weird. Mm. So you'd have the effect of spiciness without necessarily tasting it.
Right. Well, I think about it. Eating is one of the great pleasures in life. If you take away taste, that's
what's
brutal.
The point?
Yeah, brutal. Might as well just have a feeding tube. I mean, it's just brutal.
I mean, I will tell you just this, my own personal about. I would trade that just to be able to take deep breaths, which about 10 days, I couldn't even take a full deep breath.
No, I hear you.
By the way, if I lost my sense of taste, I still would not eat gross foods because that would give you like a doorway to open to eat foods that you hate, right?
Yeah. Right.
Like I still wouldn't eat. I would never eat a beet. I would never eat cottage cheese ever.
But I think I would just eat healthy. My wife and I were talking about this.
I would eat healthier, but I would draw the line at gross, even though I couldn't taste it.
I would just eat like fruits and veggies all the time. I mean, who cares?
No, but I think
no taste, there's no pleasure.
I think what you crave, though, it's weird, is texture.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
So certain foods have just nasty texture, but they taste great. Mm-hmm. So normally you'd be fine with it. But when the texture is just like soft and mealy. Yeah. Oh, you don't want that at all.
That's like the perfect time to do the Penn diet, where he eats like the baked potato every day.
Oh, right.
And he lost like 100 pounds.
Are you talking about our former colleague, Penn Gillette?
Yeah, Penn Gillette diet, yeah.
By the way, did he ever gain it all back? Is he a big fatty or is he skinny now?
I don't know.
Dude, they had Randy Jackson did a little FaceTime thing on American Idol. So Luke Bryan also tested positive recently, so he couldn't do the live show last night. And so I had Eric Fetty on my computer, and I'm watching him deal. But I have to admit, I've been sucked into American Idol this year. The talent is unbelievable. I've never seen so much talent in one season. And it's basically unanimous. But they brought Paula back. So she was the guest judge last night, and she was just as convoluted and as wacky as ever. But for one segment, they put Randy Jackson on, and apparently Randy Jackson a few years had gastric bypass, and, you know, he lost a bunch of weight. He looks awful. He looks like he's on the brink of death, in my opinion.
Just big head on top of a tiny body.
Does he have the big casino? Like, why does he look so terrible?
Was he 150 pounds?
You don't know what show he's part of.
Oh, I do.
He was part of, like, Name That Tune or something.
Name That Tune.
That's right.
I saw a few minutes of it. The host, it's... I have no idea. She's an actress. That's all I know. Yeah. I don't even know what I know her from.
Oh, but, is it Jane Krasinski?
Oh, yeah, the tall woman with short hair.
Blonde woman. Yeah, I know who you're talking. She's from 30
Rock.
Right,
you recognize her, but can you name one movie or TV show she's
been from
in?
30 Rock.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't watch 30 Rock.
She looks like the lawyer from Ozark, but it's not her, I don't think.
But I didn't watch much of it. To be honest, the last 2 weeks I've barely watched any TV, but flipping through the channels, and Randy Jackson was there. The role that he has, so they do the setup, they do the bidding, much like we do in Name That Acting, right? So the person says, I can name that tune in 5 notes. And then the next person goes, I can name it in 4 notes. And then the next person, I can name it in 3 notes. And then it's settled, name that tune. And then Randy Jackson just does one finger on a piano and does 3 measly notes.
I only watched a little bit, but it's a lot of Randy Jackson, like, do it, dog.
That's all he ever said.
Does he ever say, that's a no for me, dog?
I'm sure he does. But I didn't spend enough time with it to figure it out.
Just if you've seen him, I think he looks sickly. He's one of those guys that looks way better chubby.
But didn't we say that about Al Roker?
Al Roker, too. Al Roker's another guy that looks better chubby. But
I saw a picture yesterday. Did you guys see the picture of Orlando Franklin, who was an offensive lineman in the league?
No.
Who lost 105 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, totally different
person. Did he have the surgery as well?
Not sure.
Yeah, a bunch of offensive linemen guys do that when they're out of the league. They lose a bunch of weight.
And they stop eating 20 eggs every day for breakfast.
In fact, one of the guys, I don't think it was Orlando, but one of the guys who used to play with the Broncos, after he lost a bunch of weight, he said, how come nobody told me how awful I was and, how terrible I looked and how I was killing myself?
Yeah. All those guys, they usually look much better 10 years after they retire.
Well, not all of them. But some of them just stay fat and chubby.
What was the guy's name? He played for the Colts. He was a center for the Colts. I'm blanking his name.
Saturday.
Jeff Saturday. Yeah. I mean, look how much better he looks.
He was a jerk to me at that Super Bowl party. After we were hanging out with Jim Kelly. And then the Kelly brothers were so nice. They were amazing. We were popping beers. And then I went over and I was messing with Saturday.
Jeff Saturday,
and
yep.
I guess because he knew I was drunk, but he was a tool. Didn't get sized for Jeff Saturday at all.
Didn't he also try to claim that he wasn't Jeff Saturday?
Yeah, he was doing a bit.
doing a terrible bit.
I don't remember that conversation.
I actually hated him, Case.
You went over to him and said, hey, Jeff, what's up?
Yeah,
right?
Something. I mean, I think I had some Peyton Manning
and then he
or
said,
something.
And then he said, I'm not Jeff?
Yeah, I can't remember. Oh. I mean, I had just pounded 5 beers with the Kellys. But
you thought he'd be as gregarious as the Kelly clan.
The Kelly brothers couldn't have been any nicer. They couldn't have been any nicer.
You're like a drunk listener. Bothering
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I was at least being friendly. Why does he have to be a
douche? To him, you were Rom.
Yeah, I guess.
Were we hanging out with Jim Kelly?
Yeah. We have our picture with him.
God, I don't remember that.
Oh, you're getting old.
It was just too long ago.
It was us and his brothers.
Hanging out with
three of his brothers.
No, I remember hanging out with the brothers, but I thought Jim...
No, we had a picture taken with Jim.
Yeah, can you send that to me?
I got to find it. I tweeted it somewhere.
I got to put that
up in my office. It's a pain in the ass to find it. It's not a great picture because it's just like a copy of a copy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I still want to see it.
Oh, my God. If we had Valdez, he would know how to find it.
It was like 20 years ago.
No, it was like 10. What town was that?
Indianapolis.
That was Indy. Yeah, right.
That photo's online all over the place.
Say again?
That photo's online.
It is online somewhere because I know I've tweeted it or something. Yeah.
Here, I got it right here.
You got it?
Yeah, show it to Lurch.
Well, Drob sent us this story. Drab sent us a story this morning, which I totally relate to, which was about parents who aren't buying nice things because their kids ruin them. Mm. And, you know, we've been in the process of move, the longest move ever. All of our furniture is in a garage. I haven't even been in the new house, which we've owned for almost a month. But in the previous house, in the skinny townhouse, we had a couch that Jess would always say, it's embarrassing if people come over. I'm like, they're not going to grill the couch and look at every last stain. But when you have kids, furniture is going to get pummeled. It's just the way it is. And so there's a study of, I guess, over 1,000 people where half of the parents say they just don't buy nice things for the house. They put it off because their kids are going to ruin it with food, drink, or what they've described as animal dribble. Which I guess, you know, maybe Cakes has to deal with this. Your dog perpetually lives on one of your couches. Now, it looks like it's a leather couch, so it's probably okay.
Yeah, it's not
okay.
Just kids, JP. It's dogs, too, bro.
Dogs can do it, too.
My
Absolutely.
Dog is on my couch all the time. Now, we put a blanket on that section of the couch, so she jumps out. She doesn't jump on the other section. She knows not to, so she just jumps on the blanket. But there's fur all over the place. It's not just the kids.
Yeah, but the thing is, I remember that's never been my experience having kids. I think it's more of a pet thing. I mean, maybe
it kind of depends on the color. Like I told my wife, quite frankly, our old couch was a light blue, and it showed everything. It's like buying a white couch.
Yeah, you can't.
You just
dark
can't
colors
get away
rule.
With it.
Dark colors is the way to go.
And I think everybody who buys furniture, they always sell you on, well, we'll come out and fix all the stains. But who actually does
Never.
That?
Nobody ever. Don't get the
stain guard.
I bought
the wine protection. I bought the wine protection on one of them.
Yeah, and you're drinking so much wine on your couch.
No, but if you spill anything on here, they'll come out and fix your joint for like 5 years.
Mm. Yeah, but have you ever done that?
No, but I mean.
They always say that.
Nobody from Marlowe's ever been to my house to take a stain.
Heard that.
Nobody heard
Welcome
you.
Back, JP.
Yeah.
I know
he's forgotten who all the sponsors are.
Right. None of my furniture is like designer furniture. All my furniture is pretty basic. You know what I mean? That definitely don't. I'm not going to spend like $20,000.
I'm not spending top dollar on furniture.
No chance. I'm going to get a nice couch for about $2,000. And
what am I, the royal family or the Kardashians? I have to have fancy furniture.
Well,
no, thank you.
Now I need one I can rip a fart on.
Right. Well,
you know
that's
I mean?
Not going to leave a stain.
But could.
A pen could.
Could. No, I could see if you had, like, my youngest begs for a dog every day. Every day she begs for a dog. And, you know, my wife is allergic to him.
Right.
She's allergic to him, but she doesn't care. She wants a dog.
Well, you get hypoallergenic.
I know, but I don't want to be handcuffed by it. I don't want to be at a friend's house and go, I got to go home and take the dog out. I don't want to have to walk the dog every day. I don't want the responsibility of it. I don't want to all of a sudden have to go and pay some vet $1,500 for some worm. I just don't want to deal with the dog.
Yeah, right, try paying. Right.
You've never been
five
a dog.
Grand for tooth extraction. $5,000.
You've never been a dog
what?
Person.
No.
You've never been, and you will never be.
That's
I had a
territory.
Dog in college for a year or two, and it was fine.
Yeah, but you had 19 guys who could take care of it.
No, it was mostly mine at the end, and I had fond memories of it. But, yeah, it's a hassle. I'm not sized. But I also don't want it to tear up my silly floors. I mean, no chance. And I know that happens. I don't want dog hair all over my house.
I know. I deal with it every
my
day.
My floors are so pummeled.
Right?
I don't Oakley want just disrespects
new,
the floors.
New,
what
new,
about like your cabinets? Like, I mean, well, I mean, bet you do they claw your cabinets and stuff?
No.
I mean, I have no idea, but
no. But my floors are destroyed.
Right,
it wrecks me every time I walk in the house.
Right, I don't want.
Well,
that.
Well, then you also have to, you know, dry and wipe off the paws on a wet, muddy day every single day. If you take them out to walk,
that's just never going to happen.
People who let their dog in without wiping their paws—they're just stupid.
Are they monsters? Do you do that, Drab?
No.
You got to wipe the paws.
Yeah. You don't wipe the paws.
No, I wipe the paws. We got a whole little station over
there.
We clean
to.
Them up at.
Oh, my God.
But some people don't. I got neighbors, and I see it. On a muddy day, they'll just run in the backyard to get all muddy, and then they'll run right into the house.
Right.
Well, my backyard is terrible. It's all mud. Anytime it rains, it just turns to instant like a mud pit. Yeah. That would be a nightmare.
It's kind of a pain in the butt.
Yeah. But I've never said, oh, I'm not going to buy that because I have kids. That hasn't. I haven't done that yet. But I could see that with furniture. You know, no question.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk some Caps who made some big deals at the trade deadline yesterday. Tariq El-Bashir covers the Capitals for The Athletic. He's going to join us next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the show. Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Don't forget, in just over an hour at 8:40, Lars Eller from the Washington Capitals will join us. So you don't want to miss that. But joining us now to talk about the Washington Capitals, he covers the club for The Athletic. He's on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Longtime friend of the show, it's Tariq El-Bashir. What's up, Tariq? Good morning.
Morning, fellas.
What's up?
Long time no talk. So when did you start hearing the rumblings about this deal that went down right around the trade deadlines at 3 p.m. yesterday? Verona, one of the more popular Capitals, gets shipped off to my version of NHL Siberia in Detroit. Anthony Mantha comes in, a big dude, 6'4", 235, another piece for the offense. A disgruntled Verona is out, Mantha is in.
You know, I started getting a feeling about it maybe a week ago that maybe Verona could be a guy that would be on the move. You could see in his body language that he just wasn't feeling it here in D.C. at the moment. You could see from Peter Laviolette scratching him two times. I mean, when a coach scratches you, that means they're at their wit's end with you. That means we've covered defensive zone, coverages and other areas with you a number of times, Jake, and you're still not getting it. You got to sit out. And that spoke to a level of frustration, I think, with the coaching staff. And you could see things were just not going in a great direction. But also, if you take a bigger picture look and you look at the way the financials are setting up, you know, Rana is a 25-year-old player with some pretty good seasons in terms of goal scoring. He's a restricted free agent with arbitration rights. At season's end, he's going to get a big raise over the $3.35 million he counts against the cap. So now you start thinking, you know, okay, here's a guy who seems disgruntled, as you said. The coaching staff isn't happy with him. He's due for a big raise. He hasn't had many good playoff series. What do you do? And I started getting that sense. And then yesterday, early in the afternoon, I started getting the feeling that the Capitals were going to make a move for a forward. Maybe a couple of forwards. The goaltender was not going to be in the cards. It was funny. I was actually listening to Laviolette on your station yesterday, your interview with him, and he was saying that we're happy with our goalies. And Peter tells the truth. He doesn't sugarcoat things. And that kind of that was one indication to me that maybe goalies weren't going to be in play. And it was a big trade. It was the boldest move of the trade deadline. And on first blush, I like it, guys. I like it.
And, Tark, getting back to Verona for just a second, it sounded like, you know, from all the scuttle around the deal, that the frustration went back to the Trotz era, too. It wasn't just a Laviolette issue with him coming in. It sounded like he was an issue for both coaching staffs. So maybe McClellan was like, look, it's not the coaching staff. It's the player. He needs a fresh start. He needs to move on.
That's exactly what Brian McClellan said yesterday was, you know, if you read between the lines, this was not a new problem that popped up with a first-year head coach. This was a problem they had been dealing with, you know, going back to when Vrana emerged as a full-time player in the NHL with the Capitals. And you know, if you go back and you look at his history, you can see. I mean, there have been times where he has butted heads with the coaching staff. And I think that there are a lot of fans out there that, you know, loved his charisma and his speed. And obviously he scored beautiful goals. He was a game breaker when he was on, which was, you know, quite frequently. That said, I've been a big fan of Anthony Mantha's for a while. And when you start seeing him hammer one-timers in from Nicholas Backstrom here in the next little bit, I think fans are going to go, oh, I see. I get it. This makes sense now. He's a much more complete player, 6'5", 234 pounds. Mantha was a good player on a really bad Detroit team. You know, the knock on him is, why doesn't he use his 6'5" frame, you know, the way Tom Wilson does? This is not his game. You know, there's also some criticism. Why isn't he super intense every single minute of every shift, every game? I think he just wasn't really engaged on a bad team that just wasn't going, that was just spinning its tires. You bring him here, you put him on a line with Evgeny Kuznetsov or Nicholas Backstrom. I think he's really going to take off. Only 26 years old. There's a lot of upside. And, you know, getting back to the financials, remember with the salary cap guys, every move has an eye on what's coming down the line. And he's under contract on a pretty affordable deal, $5.7 million for 3 years after this year. That gives the Caps 3 more years of cost certainty. They know now, what, you know, if you go back to Vrana, they don't know what he was going to cost. Was it going to be $6 million, $6 plus million? They know exactly what Mantha is going to cost for the next 3 years. So they can now start thinking about, how do we re-sign Alex Ovechkin? How do we re-sign Ilya Samsonov? How do we re-sign Connor Sheary? They can start putting their plans into place.
So I guess you just answered my next question, Tarek, but why would Steve Yzerman trade a kid who's talented, who they have control of for the next 3 years, yeah, for a disgruntled player who has had issues with a couple different coaches, who is up for a restricted free agency and arbitration?
Well, I think that there were a couple of things there. So, again, let's take a step back. To me, guys, it looked like two separate trades rolled into one. It was Vrana and a first-round pick for Mantha, and then it was Ponick and the second-round pick to dump that salary, basically. Mm-hmm. So Vrana is a little younger than Mantha, almost 2 years. You know, the Detroit is on a different schedule in terms of where they are in their trajectory. They're kind of building right now. They're trying to amass picks, so that they got a first round and a second round pick. They got a slightly younger player. They need to score more goals for one. But I think the picks were the centerpiece for Yzerman. I mean, as he's looking to rebuild that club, he's got to have some bullets in the holster to go get some players in the draft and start building. I just think these teams are just in completely different places with where they are in terms of competing for a championship. The Capitals, they got to get it done now. You know, in my opinion, guys, it's this year and next year and maybe the year after. And, you know, then you're talking about retooling on the fly. So I think that's why Detroit was eager to make that move.
Gotcha.
And Tarek, a lot of this stems from, you know, trying to free up money to sign Alex Ovechkin to his deal. I know that we were all living in fantasy land when 13 years ago we were like, all right, he's basically signed for life. Well, that contract is coming due at the end of this season. Ovi's going to be a free agent, so anytime they can free up money and, you know, scurry under the salary cap, they're going to do it with aims to re-sign Ovi, because he's not going anywhere. Ovi is not signing with another team. He's going to re-sign with the Washington Capitals.
Love your confidence, Cakes.
Well, I mean, do you see him? I mean, I'm guessing Tarek doesn't ever see him leaving the Washington
Capitals.
They're
going to give him what – I mean, he knows he can't break the bank and make it impossible to win, but – they're going to give him what he kind of wants, I would think.
I think so. It's funny. I did an article over the weekend where I spoke to a salary cap consultant who's not affiliated with a team. He just consults with NHL PA agents. He consults with players, and he helps team management make decisions. And I said, hey, tell me what you think this – how is this going to turn out? And he said, I think there's probably three options that Ovechkin is considering. One would be a four-year option, one would be a two-year, one would be a one-year. If you went short-term, and remember, Jaromir Jagr did that for seven straight years at 35-plus. He just kept signing one-year deals and just kind of reevaluating things on a year-to-year basis. I don't think that's going to happen. My feeling is Ovi signs for 4 years to line up with Nicholas Backstrom's contract. That's going to get him, you know, he's in the thick of the pursuit for Wayne Gretzky. I think he's going to start getting really close in that fourth year. And you're right. He doesn't want to break the bank. He wants to be paid fair market, maybe a slightly, you know, higher. But he understands that there are other players around him that are also going to need raises. And it's no fun to be on a bad team while you're making $13 million. He gets that. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to hamstring the organization. He wants to be on a team that is constantly in the thick of things while also not totally giving the team a hometown discount. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, he's a businessman. You know, I mean, he wants to be paid, you know, according to, you know, what he's worth. But I think they'll find some common ground. And, you know, another thing that's at play here, I know a lot of fans are saying, well, he was eligible to sign since last July. If he hasn't signed, is there something going on? Is there a problem? Are they having a stalemate? The conversations are ongoing. First of all, Alex isn't using an agent, so he's playing hockey right now. It's not super easy to negotiate and digest all those numbers and keep, you know, trading proposals while you're also trying to get ready to play the Flyers. For one, but the other thing here is there's a little bit of a loophole when it comes to the expansion draft. If he doesn't sign before the expansion draft, the Capitals do not have to protect him. If the Capitals decide to go with the 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, 1 goaltender option for their protected list, they can do what they did with TJ Oshie back before the Vegas expansion draft, which is, hey, Alex, sounds like we have a deal. How about you sit tight? We'll protect 7 forwards over here, and then we'll sign you a couple days after Seattle makes its picks. Seattle, on the other hand, is not going to select Alex because they know that he's not going to sign there, and he's going to re-sign with Washington. So it's a win-win for both teams. You know, for both sides. Alex gets his contract. The Capitals don't have to waste a protected spot on him. They can use it on someone else. I think that's the way it's going to play out.
Talking to Tarik El-Bashir, covers the Capitals for the Athletics. So this is all speculation, but they've been great in the division. But they've only played the division. There are about 14 games left. So it's the stretch drive of the NHL season. How do you think they match up with some of the best teams in the conference?
It's hard because you haven't, you know, I watch as much hockey as anyone. I watch the Capitals games and I flip over to the late games. And when the Capitals aren't playing, I'm trying to watch the other divisions. And it's really hard. And I know it's probably even hard for the Capitals coaches to get a feel for how they match up with Tampa Bay and how they match up with Toronto and how they match up with Florida. I mean, if we're being honest, though, guys, the East Division's really tough. Before they need to start worrying about those guys, they need to worry about getting out of this division. You know, how do they match up against the Penguins, which are coming on strong? How do they match up with Boston? They've been kind of inconsistent against them. You know, and if you really want to take a bigger picture view, the Western Conference. Have you guys watched any of those Western Conference games?
No.
Vegas and Colorado are legit.
Are they?
So you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself. Because it's going to be tough to get out of the division. But it's not going to be easy. But I'll tell you, if this Mantha deal takes really quickly and he gets up to speed and gets comfortable, the Caps, I think, could be a tough out this year.
Will he play tonight?
Ooh, very good.
Will he play tonight?
I think so. Yeah. I think so. So he was with Detroit in Raleigh. They were playing the Hurricanes. What's that, about 4.5 hour drive? He probably took a car service. You got to travel private if you want to just kind of stay in the, I'm using air quotes here, bubble. He's supposed to be on the ice this morning for the morning skate, speak to media after that. And I would assume if he feels good, they're going to stick him in the lineup tonight.
Tarik, thanks as always for the time. We know you've been busy right around the trade deadline. We'll talk to you again soon.
Give me a call anytime, guys.
Thank you, sir. That's Tarik El-Bashir, covers the Capitals for The Athletic. He's always plugged in on the latest with the team. When we come back, we're going to talk about a potential outside-the-box hire by Monday Night Football. But before that, a lot of window companies are quoting extremely long wait times to replace your windows, but not Thompson Creek, because Thompson Creek designs, builds, and installs their windows direct from their local factory so they can replace your windows faster than the competition. And now to celebrate their 40th anniversary, Thompson Creek's giving you 40% off. Buy one window and get one 40% off, including expert installation and incredible finance options. Call.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
855-57-CREEK or visit thompsoncreek.com for details. Coming up in just about an hour at 8:40, Lars Eller will join the show. Center Ice with Lars Eller. You don't want to miss that. We can talk about his new teammate after the Caps make a big move at the trade deadline, bringing in Anthony Mantha from the Detroit Red Wings. They part with Jacob Vrana. He's now in Motown. So that's coming up at 8:40.
I know you want to talk about the Monday Night Football thing, and we'll get to that here in a second. I just want to say I just saw something in my mom's refrigerator that I don't think I've ever had, and I'm probably going to be happy in life never to have it. So I just made some toast. I'll give you some guess.
Is it a condiment? Is it a condiment?
Yes. I guess you can call it a condiment. It's something that I guess you would consider putting on your toast. I'm a butter and jelly guy on my toast.
All right.
Grape jelly.
Yes.
We've had this debate before. So it's something along those lines.
So it's similar. Now, you're not getting real persnickety and saying, like, it's jam.
No, jam
is the same as jelly. All right.
Yeah. But it's something you might,
it's but
just
it's in that
gross.
Family.
It's in that family. Marmalade?
Orange marmalade.
Oh, that's pretty good on
certain
days.
I think that's squarely like in the jelly jam family. Yeah. Like a marmalade.
Some people really like it.
I've put orange marmalade on salmon before. Sully.
Really?
Interesting.
I looked at it and just it looked gross to me.
In fact,
if you tasted it, you probably wouldn't say that.
Maybe I should give it a shot.
Yeah. I mean, it's sweet. What's not to like? I was trying to think what could it possibly be.
Now, it's not better than strawberry.
I think raspberry. I actually, when I make a salmon, I'll put raspberry, whatever they call it. God, I've lost it. But anyway, it's not really jelly, but raspberry preserves. Mm-hmm. I'll put that on my salmon.
You're big on the fruitiness with your salmon. I want to make it as salty as possible.
Yeah.
Throw like some pesto or something on there.
That's one way you can go, Cakes.
Delicious.
For sure. But I'm
trying
to get
that salt level elevated in my blood.
Is there a condiment that I wouldn't like? Because I think I like most of them.
I'm not a huge OJ mayo guy. Like it has its place on a few things.
Yeah.
Not a big OJ mayo guy.
No, I'm a mayo guy.
I'll tell you
what
my daughters eat all the time, and it's just gross. And they put it on bagels or toast, and I think it's just avocado spread.
Okay.
Oh my! I can't even believe that they can put that in their mouth. I don't
understand. Well, you hate avocado. It's
yeah, you despise avocados.
It's just
they're
the
delicious.
The smell, the look, I guarantee the taste is just the worst on the planet.
But here's the problem. Like, you have to cut the avocado and use it, like, the day or within the day or two that it's actually ripe.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, you're going to cut it open, and it's going to look like Cleveland Browns uniform inside.
Yeah.
Brown and gross.
Oh, I guarantee you that's happened.
If you cut it open and it's nice and vibrant green, that's perfect.
No.
But if it's going bashy and brown.
There's nothing perfect about it. That's
going
like saying
back
the tornado
to the marmalade.
Is perfect. No, it's not perfect.
Right.
And I guarantee I've wasted so much money on avocados.
Oh, they're not cheap.
Not cheap.
Right? No, they're not.
And they don't use them all.
Going back to the marmalade, how is it different than jelly?
I couldn't tell
or
you.
Jam? Is it just a label thing?
Not sure. I don't know the difference.
I think it might be a little clumpier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know
and
if it has to do with the consistency of it.
Can you have a different sort of marmalade that's not orange?
Yes.
Yes, you can.
100%. I have no idea. This is a total guess, but my experience with marmalade, I feel like it's clumpier.
Like, you could be right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It says that marmalade is made from citrus fruits and comes from the peel or rind.
Uh-huh. Does it say...
It's made from citrus fruit, especially bitter oranges.
Uh-huh. So what else has marmalade? Is it simple? I think there's more than just orange marmalade.
The well-known version is made from bitter orange, but it's also made from lemons, limes, grapefruits, mandarins, sweet oranges, I don't know how to pronounce this, bergamots, I don't know what that is, and other citrus fruits. So it's mm-hmm. citrusy. It's got to be citrus to be a marmalade.
Mm-hmm.
That's your dividing line.
Well, I'm mm-hmm. telling you, if you looked at it, I mean, I'm going to have to check to see the expiration date. My mom's got stuff there that's been in there for years. So anyway, you teased Monday Night Football, and I did find it interesting that they were at least considering Charles Barkley, and he said no.
But it was – but
was
if
this,
you
wasn't
read
this
the
a
story,
long time ago?
It was a while ago. I don't have an exact date on it, but it sounds like they were considering him for just a halftime bit.
Correct.
Yeah. Like, he wouldn't be in the booth calling the game.
You act like that's a stretch. They had Dennis Miller. They had Tony Kornheiser.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, but he was they were calling the games.
I know the suits there get restless every few years when the ratings dip, and they feel like they have to jolt the booth with a Tony Kornheiser or a weirdo like Dennis Miller that doesn't make any sense. Okay? So they've done that. They have a history of doing that. And, I mean, I wouldn't put it past them to put Barkley in the booth to call a game, even though he wouldn't know what he's talking about.
The thing which I found funny was Barkley said no because he said, look, I know football like a fan, but I don't know that much about football.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you ever watch Inside the NBA, he doesn't know half the players in the league.
Right. He doesn't know that much about basketball either. So you're going to put him in a different sport just because he's a big name and he's entertaining?
Well, he was so botcherific in the NCAA tournament coverage. I mean, he knows the game, so he knows strategies and, you know, strengths and weaknesses of certain coaches. But
right.
He didn't know any of the players. He didn't know any of the teams. He barely knew the conferences they were in.
Right.
And Andy Katz was doing it with him, with Kenny Smith and Barkley. And Andy Katz has had to correct him a billion times.
You think he doesn't know college basketball? Wait until he's calling, like, a Packers-Bears game in week 7.
Well, the story I read was they tried to recruit him 20 years ago.
Right.
So why is it a story now?
Because he did a podcast.
He just revealed it.
Oh.
Yeah, but
it
is worth interesting thinking about whether or not someone like that would be a good fit. Because he was talking about what the segment was, and it was like Barkley and Al Michaels commenting on anything and everything during halftime, not just football.
Yeah.
And he was like, why does everyone got to give their opinion about everything? And so he kind of went into that job.
I'm glad he didn't do it. But he would have been interesting. But I don't think it was him during the game. It was like, you know, like you like Drabby said, a halftime bit.
He is entertaining, though.
Oh, yeah, he's funny.
It doesn't matter if he gets botches all over the place. I just want to see him sit in that recliner like he did in the tournament and just talk about being fat and eating.
Mm-hmm.
I just get a kick out of him.
You like his Barkley Lounger bit for the Capital One spot?
I like the Barkley Lounger.
Now, remind me currently, and I should know this. I've watched a billion Monday Night games, but the current Monday Night Football team is Levy.
I couldn't even tell you.
Is it Greasy Riddick? And Riddick?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a three-man.
It's right. Football guys. Yeah. That's the thing.
It was
is
a
people,
little bit better this year than recently.
I think Levy's really good.
Yeah. People get upset when they go with non-football guys. Like, I didn't really – look, Dennis Miller tried to make a million references during a football game.
He was too highbrow.
And it was over all of our heads. Never understood what the hell he was saying. But it doesn't bother me that much when they try and bring a non-football guy in just to have a little fun. I mean, Madden was a football guy, and he's not a Monday Night Football guy, but he was known because he was goofy.
Yeah.
What about Kornheiser?
He was fine.
He was
We all kind of grew up Kornheiser fans, so it didn't bother me.
It wasn't
me.
A good fit, though. It wasn't a good fit.
Yeah. I mean,
they need a football guy.
For
That's
the most part,
need.
just put football guys in there. It doesn't really matter to me who the announcers are. You're not. Let's be honest. Are we really tuning away from the NFL because we hate the announcers? How often does that happen?
No,
very
but I
rarely.
I did think watching last year that Booger and God bless him. I think Booger's even been on the show, and the other donk
Tessitore,
which I've seen do college football and stuff. And he's a pro.
Yeah.
But I didn't think they had the gravitas of like a Monday Night Football. Like I need.
No,
I think
they, didn't have the name. They didn't have
level.
The names. And not that Levy, Riddick, and Greasy do, but they're just better.
Not that they do either. But there was another level of competence I thought with the crew they had last year.
Yeah.
Well, you know me, I'm a Barkley Mark, and I happened to see this piece recently where they were looking back on some of the best inside the NBA bits, and I do think the best bit they ever did on that show, and Barkley wasn't aware that it was about to happen, was Kenny Smith came up with this idea. I think it was during the All-Star game where they had the Champions Club, and all these guys walked into like a VIP area, including Kenny Smith, because he won two championships with the Rockets, and then there was a bouncer, and Barkley couldn't go in because he wasn't a champion.
Oh, that's right.
And then they started like saying all the guys who were in. It was fake. It was
and
like,
that probably
you know,
pisses
Dembo's
him off,
in
too.
Here. just all off. These people that weren't that good but just never got a championship. Right.
You know, this is different for you guys because you guys stay up late. I can't remember the last Monday night game that I watched start to finish live. When Washington plays, I'll watch, you know, first quarter, first half, because I know we're going to talk about it. But I'll DVR it and watch it the next morning. I can't remember, Bickle, the last time I watched a Monday night football game start to finish.
Well, I mean, that's because of our hours, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's probably been 15 plus years.
Yeah.
Unless I was off the next day.
If you get up at 7 versus getting up at 4:30, you know, you can watch. I think you can.
We'll stay on the NFL when we come back. We'll pivot to the Washington football team. Who might they trade up with that's not the Atlanta Falcons, who are sitting at number 4? Could they trade with Carolina at 8? Maybe Denver at 9? We'll look at potential suitors for the Washington football team next, right here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.